2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 11 together. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that is called, that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things, those eight things, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to review, because we've been reviewing for many weeks here, but God gives us seven great and exceeding precious promises, partakers of God's nature, special success learning the Bible, never blind to God's will, more foresight or insight into people and situations, never lose the joy of being saved, you would never fall, and you'll continue to grow in grace and grow in the Lord in your own personal walk, not just what you get with the church. Now, let me remind you of something very, very important. God said, if you have these eight things, then these seven promises come with it. But remember, you have to have all eight things. It's not a matter of having one or some. It's either all or none. And God says, as you develop these eight things in you, these seven promises, these great and exceeding promises, build more and more in your life. Now, vitally important, because remember also that we ought to be focused on the ingredients, not the promises. Too many people want the cake without having the ingredients. No ingredients, no cake. You see, we tend to, in our world today, we want to see the end from the beginning. God says, just take care of the ingredients, the end will take care of itself. Remember that these are built one upon another. In the biblical languages, Greek and Hebrew, the order in which something is given is as important as what is said. It starts with faith, foundation. Remember, it's like building a building. We're now at the eighth thing. It is the top of the structure. It's the roof, so to speak. It's encapsulating everything, and it is the top one. Though it may be last in line in the list, it's highest in importance. Does that make sense to everybody? And each one of these things have been built that way. Now, tonight, we're going to look at the last of these, and that last one is the topic of charity. Now, I made this statement. It's like the roof. Of course, when we built this building, we built the dirt up. You had the foundation. They poured the concrete. Then they started building the walls. Did you know that those walls, they would stay up, but it wasn't solid till they put the roof on? The roof holds everything together. You take the roof off your house, you can push your walls over. Say, why? Because there's not as much stability as you think. And it is the structure of the roof itself that lends that final stability. Plus, it keeps all the weather and the nastiness outside of what's inside. That is exactly what charity does to our life. It is that solidifying, so to speak. It's the it's what makes the structure long-lasting and important. If we didn't put a roof on this building 6 years ago almost, we wouldn't have a building right now. Definitely wouldn't have carpet. It'd be all molded and rotten and nasty. The walls would be peeling and bubbling and ugly. The electricity would be snap, crackle, and popping. Say why? Because the weather's getting in. It takes that stability of the roof to keep all the elements out, but it also strengthens the walls, the structure itself. God says that this last ingredient needed is the one that covers all, and it's charity. Charity is more than just love or compassion. I'm not necessarily against substituting the word love and charity, but I think you need to understand it's a different level of love. It's not just love. Charity is, I'm going to read what I wrote so that I don't get in trouble. Charity is more than a squishy heart because emotions are stirred. Charity is more than a good deed to someone less fortunate than us. Charity is more than seeing some little poor child in an African country with a protruded belly that's hungry trying to get you to give money. That's not charity. And I'll prove it biblically to you. And I want to help you tonight. So let's dive into this. Number one, what is charity? What is charity? We have caused the word charity in America, especially in our generation, to mean giving a little of our money or ourselves to someone less fortunate. Charity isn't going by the guy at Christmas time, ringing the bell with the red pot, putting a little bit of pocket change in for the Salvation Army. Charity is not at school time, giving money at banks in different places to put food and backpacks on for kids. Charity is far more than just giving a little extra to someone that doesn't have something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, we're going to stay there, so mark it. We're going to jump around a little bit, but we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to show you something here. Charity, listen to me, is not feeding the hungry, giving money to the poor, or putting clothes on the poor. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 3. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the what? Poor. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. God says just giving money to feed poor people isn't charity. I'm going to make a couple statements here that I think you need to hear, and it will help you. Charity is far more than kindness or warm feelings for doing something benevolent. Well, I gave a little, I can feel good about myself now. There is far more to charity than giving money. There are wealthy people that set up charities for different causes, cancer causes. And I'm not against people giving money to those things, but understand, it's not charity. We have degraded the word charity to meaning something it is not. Charity is the kind of love that God loves with. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. God's love is the word agape. For God, verse 16, so what? Loved. The word agape. For God so agaped, or loved, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody look at me for a second. Don't get mad at me. I'm not going to be disrespectful, but God didn't walk by the pot one day and put his pocket change in and say, here you go, man. God didn't go through his closet and find some old ties and old shirts and pants and take them to the Goodwill and say, here you go. These will be better for somebody else, but I won't need them anymore. God didn't give his leftovers, for God so loved. The root word of charity is agape. And you have to understand something. It is the same love that God loves with. It's not just a warm, squishy feeling. Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't think God had a warm, squishy feeling because he gave Jesus Christ to die for us. I think it grieved God, but yet it pleased his righteousness. It pleased his justice. But as a father, it hurt. So charity is the kind of love that God loves with. Charity is the highest form of love. I'm going to make a statement here. Charity is love by principle. It's not determined by the object. It's determined by the lover. Did you hear what I just said? Doesn't matter if it's a potbelly little kid in Africa with no food, starving to death, or if it's a neighbor who lives in a million-dollar home. Charity can be charity. It's not determined by who gets the love. It's determined by who gives the love. Charity is done by principle. It's loving while opposed at the same time when you want to be accepted. That's why you can love your enemy. There's one thing my enemy can't stop me from. Loving them. Nah, 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 nah. They don't have to even hear me love them. They don't have to know I love them, but they can't stop me from loving them. And real charity loves someone who opposes you. I've met with three different people this week that are dealing with people who are opposing them. And I've reassured all three different situations, you can love even though you totally disagree. You see, love is by principle, not by how the object receives it. Love is determined by the giver, not the getter. Charity is not your spare change. It's your annual salary. Charity isn't just what's left over. It's given, for God so loved that he gave. What did he give? His only begotten Son. Now, I know some of you are probably willing to give up one of your kids, but not that way. God didn't give us his spare. He gave us his only. You see, charity in America is just giving a little extra. Well, instead of buying 7 or 8 coffees this week, I'll buy one less and I'll throw the change in. So, charity is a very principled, very calculated, decided love. Oh, my soul. Let's see. 36 years is coming up. Almost 38 years ago, I guess. My wife and I were dating. I looked at her one day and I said, Debbie, I'm going to say something and I mean it. I love you. it will take me a lifetime to prove it. It's exactly how I said it to her the first time I ever said it. He said, oh, what did she say? Absolutely nothing. She walked away. I had to go to work. She called home, talked to her mother. Her mother chewed her up one side and down another. Why'd you let him go without saying it back? Well, he didn't know what I was supposed to say. I love it. I love it. I love it. By the way, 38 years later, I'm still trying to prove it. Just because we got married did not prove my love. It is a daily, it is an hourly, sometimes it's a minutely proving of love. You say, why? Because it's determined by the giver, not the receiver. So, charity is something that is planned. It is the love of God, and it's given on purpose. It's not accidental. I hate the term, well, they just fell in love. I hate to tell you something. If you can fall in love, you can fall out of love. I didn't fall. I jumped in on purpose. You ought not fall in. I've fallen into some things I wished I hadn't have fallen into. You're not supposed to fall. That means you. That's an accident. Love is to be determined. It's principled. It's supposed to be done on purpose, not by accident. So, tonight, I'm going to take the next 28 minutes, and I'm going to define charity according to God. Charity according to God. Are you ready? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. You're not going to like this, but I don't care. Of the 8 things that God says we have to have, did you know that lost people can have 6 of the 8 things? They can have everything but faith and charity. Lost people can develop 6 of these 8 things. Add your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, meek, you know, all those things. They can 6 of those 8. Now, they can't do it in a spiritual way, but they can develop them in their life. I know lost people that have a better handle on their temper than some saved people do. Everybody doing okay? Now, you can develop these even being lost. But there's 2 things you can't develop as a lost person. 1, faith. 2, charity. Charity is the love of God. And if we're not one of his children, we don't inherit the ability to have that. Now, without charity, all of these things become insignificant. Add to your faith, virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. Without charity, all of them become insignificant. It's like building a building with no roof. What's going to happen? Not going to last. Fellas, it's kind of like that tree fort you built when you were a boy. Pretty much it was a platform with walls on it so you could kick your brother out or kick the neighborhood kids out of. But it didn't have a top on it usually. And if it did, it leaked like a sieve. And why, oh why, oh why did my dad allow us to build one in a pine tree? But we did. I'm not sure who is angrier, him or my mother for cleaning up all the pine sap. Crazy old pine tree. We built a fort in it. Say, why? I think it was the only tree we had we could get into, but we did. Now, without charity, all of these things go away. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1 here. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. In other words, I can I can speak and move people. I have the ability to communicate well. And have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I can foresee things and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Listen to this statement very carefully here. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There's a lot of people out there who've put a lot of money and a lot of time into writing books. Theologians. Now watch this. Commentaries. 99% of the people who ever wrote a commentary never walked across the street and told an old lost sinner how to get saved. How can somebody that's too busy being spiritual and having to sit in their office all day and write, how is that more spiritual than somebody that gets off their blessed do-nothing and goes out and tells lost people how to get saved? Which has a greater standing with God? And I'm going to tell you something, who has a better understanding of God? My former pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, grew up in Texas. He needed to get saved just like others do from Texas too. The leading Bible college in America in the 1940s, Dallas Theological Seminary. Listen to this statement. Two blocks down the road from that seminary was the very bar that Athy Hiles, Dr. Jack Hiles' daddy, was a regular customer at. And not one soul winner, not one college professor, not one person from that church or school ever walked down the street, talked to a bunch of drunks coming out of a bar to try to win them to Christ. And probably Brother Hiles' daddy died and went to hell. So you tell me, well, they just know the Bible in such a wonderful way. If they know it so well, how come they don't go tell others about it? That's what God's talking about here. They had all this knowledge, but they didn't have charity. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not impressed with everybody with how much knowledge they had. I'm going to read two more statements that I wrote down so you don't get mad at me. Feeding hungry bellies is good, but letting them die and go to hell with a full belly is not love. Clothing people is good, but going to hell with clothes on is not love. Charity is far more than one act of kindness. Charity is caring enough to give somebody eternal truth. And God defines charity here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse number 4. First of all, let's go back to verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. What's that saying, preacher? Charity is principled and not based on how it appears. Charity is not based on how something looks. Charity is based on what it does to help someone. I really believe this is true. If Jesus walked through those doors today, sat down in this crowd, you couldn't pick him out. He was a common man. He didn't have long hair, and he didn't wiggle when he walked. But I will tell you this. The common man heard him gladly. A bunch of rough redneck fishermen followed him. People left their businesses to follow him, quit their businesses, and immediately walked away. Say, why? Because he had something they wanted. But he was not the most comely person. He didn't live in a $50 million mansion, didn't drive a gold and diamond studded donkey. Say, why? He lived amongst, matter of fact, he was homeless. He'd have fit in at the mission more than he would fancy houses down in Loudoun County. You see, charity is principled. Charity does things and doesn't care who sees it. Charity doesn't do things to be seen. It just does things. Charity gives what is needed for someone else. It doesn't give what they want to give. When you have charity, you don't give what you want. You give what the other person needs. And you don't give them what you would want. You give them what they need. Not long ago, I had a friend who had a need. It wasn't the need I had, but I had the wherewithal to fill it. And I did. Honestly, I didn't get to fill it the way I'd want to, but I still filled it. I didn't even fill it the way I'd want it filled if I were in their place, Brother Jim, but it's what they needed. Charity isn't based on the getter. It's based on the giver. Somehow we get this idea that if we want it, somebody else wants it too. No, you married her. I don't want her. You have to understand, not everybody likes everything you like the way you like it. My wife and I were out on our weekly date yesterday. She got steak and coconut shrimp. Ugh, coconut shrimp is nasty. That's like wrapping grass on a shrimp and chewing on straw. Now, I got shrimp and steak and chicken. No problem. But I promise you, our steaks weren't done the same. She likes hers boot ready, and I like mine moo ready. I didn't complain. Say, why? She was happy. I was happy. I was happy I didn't have to eat her steak. She was happy. She didn't have to eat mine. No problem. But if I go out and I'm going to make steaks, I'm not going to make them all rare like I like them. I make sure I make it the way she likes it and pull mine off 10 minutes before hers. Or put mine on 10 minutes later. Warm it up after I kill it. No problem. I don't expect everybody to like everything I like the way I like it. It's no problem. Charity is done by principle. It's principle and not based on how others see it. Make sense? Look at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Charity suffereth long. Whew. But I want you to notice something. There's three more words. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Love knows how to suffer without being grouchy, irritable, hard to get along with. And I want you to notice it doesn't say just suffers, suffers long. But it's kind. My wife, back in October, had to take on a new role and take care of a husband with a bum foot, and I couldn't drive. I am the world's worst front or backseat rider. No comments. I already know it. It is not easy for me to ride while somebody else is driving. Say why? I don't know. It's just the way I'm made. But I will tell you this. My wife was kind. I was trying to be kind. There were things at first I could not do. And I tell my wife, I'm sorry. I probably got her more angry for saying I'm sorry, to the point where after about 3 or 4 days, she said, if I hear that one more time. I thought, okay, I'm sorry. You say, why? Even though I was hurting, I was trying to be kind. There were things I was used to doing myself. I was not used to being served. I was the one to jump up and do it. And yeah, I could jump up, but I was going to fall right back down. And it wasn't going to be good. You know, I don't find any place in Scripture where either God the Father or Jesus complained about Calvary. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus or God complained that people rejected him. He didn't walk around, well, nobody's going to believe me about doing this. Oh, woe is me. I'm going to do it and nobody's going to care. No, charity suffers long and is kind. Say, how do you know, preacher? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Charity knows how to suffer long and be kind. Charity does not demand thanks or anything in return. You know, there's not one place in the Bible where it says we have to thank God for what he did. There's blessings if you do. But God's not making you. Well, I'm not giving it to you until you tell me thank you. I believe in being courteous. Yes, I do. But charity does it without thanks. Charity is satisfied in giving, not what it might get in return. Everybody doing okay? Look at the next part of that verse. Charity envieth not. The word envy there means wishing for or wanting something. Charity doesn't give in order to get something back. Married couples, be careful giving something thinking you're going to get something back. I'm not talking always something tangible. Then you get hurt feelings because you didn't get what you wanted. That proves you didn't give with charity. You gave with selfishness. You gave to get something back. Charity does not want things. It looks to give others what they need or want. Charity doesn't say, well, I wished I had, I wished I had, I wish I had, I wish I had. Charity says, I want this for someone else. I want this for someone else. Say, preacher, do you have a wish list? Yep, all the things I want to get from my wife. Not one thing on it for me. Everybody doing okay? I'm not kidding. Because I don't want anything. Charity envies not. It doesn't look at something and say, I wished I had that. Charity doesn't even want for itself. It wants for someone else. Number next. Let's look at the next part of that verse. Vaunteth not itself. Charity does not want attention for what it does. The term vaunteth not itself. It means it doesn't brag or tell everybody what they did. It's not buying your wife something new, fellas, and then going around telling everybody, show them what I got you, show them what I got you. you just became a salesman then, not a lover. Charity gives not wanting to lift itself up. Old story, but true. I knew a guy in a church that had built a certain project at the church. Pulled me aside. Shh, don't tell anybody. But I was the one that gave that. You know, everybody in the church knew it because he told everybody in the church one-on-one. It's hilarious. Everybody knew. Say why? Because he told everybody. And he got his reward. When he got to heaven, bless his heart, he's not going to get any rewards for what he did there because he already got them. He was vaunting himself, showing everybody what he did. Everybody doing okay? Charity does not hold what it does over people's heads to get something it wants later. Well, you ought to be appreciative of what I've done. I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. What are you going to do for me? Oh, that's not charity. That's bartering. That's business. That's not love. I want you to notice something. There's a comma after vaunteth not itself. Next couple words, is not puffed up. Look at me. Strutting like an old Tom Turkey next week that I'll shoot. Amen. You watch an old turkey, man. Old Tom, he'll fan that thing out. He'll suck air in, and you can hear him. He's got so much air in there, he's got to go. Try to get a little bit more in there, make it push out a little farther. He wants to be king dog. Strut it over here, dude. I'll take care of you. Boom! We'll take the air right out of you. Anybody else out there strutting, he runs over and starts fighting with him. He's got to be bigger and badder and more beautiful than the other one. And that's the way a bunch of people run around like a bunch of turkeys. Strutting their stuff. Holding it over everybody's head. Number 5. Boy, I got to hurry. I have 8 minutes. Charity does not misbehave nor become inappropriate. Look at verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Folks, if you really love somebody, you're going to obey. Boys and girls, if you love your mom and dad, you'll obey them. If you love your teachers and you love your school, you'll obey the rules. If you love God, you'll obey the Bible. It's that simple. The word does not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly means inappropriate. It doesn't do what it wants, even if it's inappropriate. It doesn't tell jokes and talk about things that borderline shouldn't talk about in Christian realm. Number 6, I got to hurry. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Charity does not look for what it can get. I mean this with all my heart. I love my wife because I love my wife, not for what I can get. I love my dad. I love my mom. I love my brother. I love my family. Not because of what I could get, but because I love them. My dad knows this is true. I love him because I love him. All the stuff and things don't mean anything to me. I want him. I'll protect him. He's the purpose, not anything else. You say, why? Because that's what real love is. It's not looking for something for self. Charity does not base importance or need based on what I think. You know, there's some things that my dad has needs of in his life now that he didn't before that he thinks are important. About a week or so ago, he says, hey, I need to get some popcorn and some oranges. Well, that was an important thing. We stopped by not long thereafter, and I made sure he had a gallon of ice cream too, because those things are important. Amen. Now, to me, it might not be important. To him, it is. Now, some of those things are important. But anyway, charity doesn't base importance or need based on what I think. There's some things my wife says she needs sometimes. I'm thinking, so? But if that's what she needs, I'll get it. Everybody doing okay? Number 7, I got to hurry up here. Seeketh not easily provoked. Charity doesn't get easily provoked. Charity acts by principle. It doesn't react emotionally. I'm going to make a statement here. That means it doesn't react badly, nor does it act excessively good. Charity is based on principle, not emotion. That means every situation is treated the same. There's no more or no less given, either energy or emotionally, to one to another. I had a man text me today, ask me for a favor. I said, I would love to do that for you, but as pastor of this church, if I do it for you, I've got to do it for every one of my church members, so I can't do that. And he said, that's fair. I understand that. How would you feel if I did it for one and then you had the need and I couldn't do it or didn't do it for you? There are some things by principle I've decided my position doesn't allow me to do. It was nothing sinful, nothing wrong. It was a good thing. I just couldn't do it because if I do it for one, I got to do it for everybody. Therefore, the answer is no. Not because I hate him. It's because I don't love everybody the same. I don't have the wherewithal to do that for everybody. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what the Bible's talking about there. Easily, I want you to notice, is not easily provoked. It doesn't live with a short fuse. It doesn't live with the feelings on our sleeve. People crack me up how easy they're offended these days. Good night. You never grew up in my house. You'd have never survived. Number 8. Charity never thinks evil. Thinketh no evil. Charity hates evil but loves evildoers. Did you hear what I just said? Charity hates evil but loves evildoers. Charity can love an enemy because it does not seek to destroy. Charity does not do things to allow evil into its brain. Listen to me. For you to love with true biblical godly love and charity, you can't be putting evil into your brain. There used to be a thing in coding and stuff in computers. Garbage in, garbage out. A computer's not super smart. It just does whatever's already been put in there to bring back. Now watch this. You put evil in, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the mouth, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When people begin to gossip, it's because they have gossip in their heart. They're hearing it. They're listening to it. I'm talking about evil movies and evil books. Some of the filth out of Hollywood right now, no Christian ought to ever watch. Sure. Do you hear what I said? There's very little coming out of there that's worth watching. All the way down to Marvel Comics. That's as satanically infused as anything I've ever been a part of. I'm talking about the evil of social media and the evil of video games and the thinking about hurting somebody or something. Wanting to purposely hurt someone or hurt something is evil. I've got to hurry. Number 9. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Charity is never happy when sin causes harm. You know, I'm never happy when somebody who has been found out in sin is hurting. That grieves me. some of you may have read in the news this week or this last week, there was a missionary in South Africa that was taken at gunpoint, taken right out of the church service while he was preaching in front of his wife, kids, and his church. He's a Baptist preacher from Tennessee. Well, just last night, the authorities in South Africa have a special unit for these kinds of people, and they escaped and had him in the car, and three of the captive people that took him captive got in a gunfight with the police, and they shot and killed him while he was in the car. But he's safe. Oh, I'm so glad he's safe, yeah? And he's probably got three captors that are dead and in hell right now. And my heart hurts just a little bit. My heart hurts for his family, what they had to go through, yes. But I wonder where those three guys are. I'll guarantee they lock a Baptist preacher up. He was telling them the gospel. Charity does not find joy in punishment of anybody. Charity does not seek closure. It seeks justice. Do you hear what I said? Charity does not seek closure. It seeks justice. Next it says, rejoiceth in the truth. Charity rejoices in truth. It seeks truth and enjoys truth of all kind. Charity does not seek truth just about a problem. It seeks truth. It gets excited about all truth. Charity then must be founded in the Bible in obedience to it. Thy word is truth, O Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So charity has to be based on truth, which is the word of God. Boy, that's good stuff. Say, what do I do when I don't feel like it? Get in the word of God, find truth, and rejoice in it, and you'll find charity again. Well, not about that. I didn't say about that, but you'll find charity again. Number 11, I got to hurry up here. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things. Listen to this. Charity is tough enough to outlast all problems. Charity is tough enough to outlast all problems. It can handle a load. Notice it says beareth all things. You say, why? Because problems rarely come one at a time. Have you noticed? The older you get, the more they come in bunches. Or as my wife and I say, come in piles. You can interpret that however you wish. Problems rarely ever come one at a time. They come by the bucket load. There's this one, and 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 this one. And if you live the life that I live as a pastor, it just doesn't stop. And it's okay. Because charity beareth all things. It can handle the load. It knows how to pick up the shovel and start moving the pile. See, but it's stinky. It's nasty. Yeah, but you can move the pile. But it's gross. It's hurtful. Yeah, you'll get through the pain. Charity beareth all things. Number 12. Boy. Endureth all things. It believeth all things. Charity has hope in truth. Listen to this. If you missed everything else, get this next couple statements. Charity has hope in truth even when it doesn't seem like it's going to work. Charity has hope even if you think you've gotten to the end and it's not going to turn out right. Charity believes that it's going to turn out right even if you can't see the end. Oh, you're just an optimist, preacher. You just have a lot more faith. No, real charity says, I will hope in thy truth. No, I don't know exactly how it's going to end, and it's not probably going to turn out the way I thought. But as long as God's involved and it turns out the way he wants, that's all that matters. Charity believes in the sincerity of people, even those who are wrong. It doesn't change right or wrong, but charity does not lose hope in humanity because something bad happened. I've got to hurry here. Number 13, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Charity sees life with eternity in view. Charity does not focus on what can go wrong. It looks at how can things work out for right. Some of you always see the negative of everything. Can I tell you why? You have no hope. I don't look at the negative of everything that could take place. Say what? I'd rather on the good that could take place, not what could go wrong. Now, I'm for looking at past experiences, this thing, that thing, putting safeguards up, yes. But it doesn't mean everything in my life should be looking at the bad side of everything. Number 14. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, but it's tough enough to endure. The word endure, continue to exist. Charity's got one more get up than the devil has knocked down. Charity trusts the principles of truth, and it doesn't look at the opposition of criticism. Did you hear what I just said? It doesn't even look at the opposition of failure. It gets back up. Charity never gives out and holds on to the end. Lastly, look at endureth all things. Verse 8, charity never faileth. Situations fail, but charity does not. Success may fail, but charity will not. Not everything's going to work out right, but charity will. Charity does not fail. Those things do, but charity is still good and going strong. I want you to look at something and I'm done. Look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Notice it's the last one mentioned. So if charity is the greatest, hope is in the middle and faith is first. You have faith, hope, charity, built one upon another. Charity is greater than faith or hope. Say why? Watch this statement. If you missed it, you'll miss it all. Charity is the glue that holds everything together. Charity is the glue that holds everything together. Just like the roof is the structure that holds the whole building together. It's what keeps it secure and safe. And charity is the glue that binds and holds everything together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I've got to quit. I believe God saved charity last in that list to showcase it. Let me ask you a question. How is your charity?